You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
This is Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And I'm Kat Gunther from White Lake, Michigan, and you're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast for Tuesday, December 16th. Good morning and happy holidays, horse world.
You're listening to the Quarter Horse Podcast, where we explore the versatility of the world's most popular breed of horse, the American Quarter Horse.
Can you believe it's that time of year? I can't.
I know. I'm excited, but I'm also like kind of looking forward for it to be over. It's just too much. It's chaotic.
If you could see my office right now, Kat, I think there's 15 wrapped gifts already because I've been trying to wrap them as they come in so that Christmas Eve isn't a complete you-know-what show.
Yeah.
And so my office very much looks like Santa's workshop right now.
Hey, you're proactive. You're
I'm trying. And for some like amazing reason, Levi has no, like he hasn't tried to open any of them.
Really?
I don't.
He just doesn't sit there and just like pull
out? No, because that's why we didn't put him under the tree, because Zach's like, he'll get into him. I'm like, well, I'll keep him in my office. And he's busted into my office a couple of times because it's a very famous kid-free zone. And yeah, he doesn't care at all. I'm like, I don't think you get this, dude.
He doesn't get the concept yet, but one day he will.
I know. I'm laying real low and we're going to cruise right through to Christmas and not have any of these gifts opened. But we do have a gift for our listeners today.
Oh, yes, we do.
Because today we're talking about team penning.
Yay! Woo-hoo! The crowd goes wild.
Have you ever worked cows before, Kat?
So I have not worked any cattle before, but I think it's very badass. I admire it.
I agree. I have worked cattle once, and it was just at like, the best I can say is it's like a schooling penning show. So it was very much like you go there to learn how to work the cattle. And then like at the end, it's timed. I had an amazing time. I was on a real cowy horse. So I just got to like kind of sit there and put my hand down and that horse would work the cow. It was like being on cruise control, like autopilot. It was so cool and so fun. Unfortunately, the girlfriend I went with, her horse would not go near the cows. The smell of it, whatever it was, she got launched. So we couldn't stay all day. She got actually pretty hurt because her, and it was a paint. Like you would think it would deep in its DNA. It would know cows. No. She was not playing.
We took my gypsy around some cows once, and he did not play with that at all. He doesn't like cows or cars. Those are the two things he just would not go near.
I've seen it before many times. You know, horses that they just cannot get along with cows or pigs or sheep. Like, they just go nutso bananas. And so it's tough. It's not a sport that every horse can or should or would want to do. But my gosh, is it fun. So I did spend some time looking into the history of team penning because it is a relatively new sport. It actually was founded in California in 1942, where a group of cowboys wanted to make it this into a more informal kind of contest to see which horses and riders were best at working and moving cattle. They formalized a simple rule. A team of riders must sort out specific numbered cattle and pen them in the fastest time. Now, Kat, you might be wondering why it had to be three riders working together. That's because it's the optimal number for ranch work. One to go get the cattle, one to hold the herd, and the other one to help funnel them into the pen.
Oh, I'm just picturing this on a ranch.
Like, oh my gosh.
I know we've talked about dude ranches before and how we want to go so bad.
So listeners, in case I haven't made this announcement, because I don't know if I have, my husband and I got orders. We are moving to the great state of Montana come May. And the minute I told my dear co-host here, Kat, she said, well, when are we doing a listener meetup at a dude ranch?
Let's do it. Plan it right now. I'm so ready. I've always wanted to go to a dude ranch.
I do too. It looks so fun and beautiful, but I'll be honest, I want to go to like one of the bougie ones where they like cook for you and like hot tubs are made out of the like stock water holders. Like I want the full Yellowstone Dutton experience.
I'm down. Anybody else down? Let's go.
Yeah, listeners, you want to go meet Kat and I and work cattle on a ranch in Montana? Let's make it happen for 2026. We're manifesting.
Yes. But that's what I think of when I think of like penning and working cattle and all that is like the roots of the cowboy in the West. And I love that vibe.
Me too. It's almost like a romance to it, you know, because so much of Western riding, yes, of course, it all came from cowboys if you go far back. But, you know, watching, let's say, a Western pleasure class, it does not hearken me back to the days of the open range. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so this sport, I'm really excited for our guests to learn more about it and obviously see why the quarter horse is the ultimate team penning mount. So with that, let's welcome our first guest.
So our first guest is Michigan native Kimberly Bitework. Kimberly has been in the world of penning for over a decade, and we're so excited to learn more from her today. Kimberly, how did you get into team penning?
Oh my gosh, by total accident. It is not my favorite equestrian sport. It's just so fun. But I actually was doing jumping lessons at the time because I really wanted to do some lessons to really learn more how to ride. And I could only find English barns. And so I just started jumping. And a student of mine, I worked at a university in the area. And she's like, Kimberly, you got to meet Amanda. You got to meet Amanda. And so we met and she took us out to the barn and where she was. And my first time out there, she was like, I think it was like first or second. She's like, I'm going to just get out the cows. And my blood pressure spiked probably through the roof. I was so anxious. I do neat circles and go over things. I don't like, you know, swift turns and stuff. But I think our first time we penned them up and I was immediately addicted to the sport. And then I went and I kept watching and I was like, oh my gosh, can I ride like this? I don't know if I can do that. And that same student let me start on her horse. And then I rode a different one at the farm for 3 years. And then eventually I got my own, which would love to share. He was actually a Morgan, so very misfit. So if you want to hear Morgan versus quarter horse team penning, it was actually very fascinating, the different horses that I've ridden to just kind of see the difference. So, but yeah, mine took two. He did great, but we did it for a long time. So very, very fun sport.
So I love an English convert. I love an English convert. It's so fun when we can get, and I love any converts, like English people going Western, Western going English. I am such a firm believer that you can learn from every discipline.
Gosh, yes.
And so let's talk some of the differences about team penning and jumping. So there's no cows in the arena, obviously, in jumping.
That would be cool, though. Could you imagine jumping with cows around? You move a cow and then you go over a fence.
I like this idea. So tell us about the sport. I know we talked about it earlier in the show. There's three riders on a team. Take us from there. What happens? We walk in the arena. What happens next?
Yeah, good question. So there's a start line. So you've got to start behind that before you approach the herd of cows. And then the three of you go in and the announcer will announce a particular number. So they usually have got some back tags. And we ran with a herd of 21. They'll often do like a herd of 30. It's, I think, more typical. But that's one of the challenges of running team penning, why it's so hard to find, is because you have to have so many more cattle than you have to do for sorting events. So you start at this line, and then once the buzzer goes or you're told you can go ahead, you enter towards the herd, and then the three of you try to just communicate who sees whatever number was called. So like if you're told number 5, then you have to pull three cows with the back tag number 5 out of the herd. So cutting horses are phenomenal at this because that's what you're doing, is you're cutting it out of the herd. And then the goal is one person will take one of them out. And you really do, there's so much communication. So I love the sport of it. It changes every time. But you really do have to communicate, because if you're riding a number five out of the herd and it has a friend or two with it, you got to communicate which cow is the correct number, because your partners can't necessarily see. And they've got to ride at the, they're called trash cows. They've got to ride at the incorrect numbers in order to push them back towards the herd. And then once you have three of the correct number, it's usually 60 seconds. Some I've heard will run longer than that, but you've got to run back. And there's positions. So in the arena, there's just a small pen, just like a little square towards the other end of the arena. And you've got to ride with your team of three and push those three all the way through. So there's positions. So, and the, there's a narrower spot and the, there's like a narrower and a wider spot. I'm trying to think how to describe it without a visual. But on the narrower part, there's different names for someone, but we call it, there's the alley. So one person's got to ride the alley. So that way, when you run the cows around the arena, you don't push them out the other side and around the pen. And then there's one person will ride down and get what's called the gates. There's a swing gate, because old true Western, you know, this came from functional Western need of, you've got to literally pen up some cows. You'd have to swing that gate shut. But so they just kind of keep it open. So one person sticks the gate, and then the other person, which my personal favorite, runs a sweep. So you run all the way around the pen to the corner and push the cows in, and you all kind of fold in together to just make sure that you don't lose any of the cows out either side of the pen. So, and the goal is to get it within 60 seconds. Best time is the winner. And yeah, it's so fun.
That sounds intense. All that in 60 seconds just gives me anxiety, but it sounds fun though. So what happens if you get the wrong cow? Like if you're going for number five, but then one of the trash cows slips in.
Yeah, good question. So harder core competition, you get DQ'd the second any of them, like their nose crosses that line. So we like to do more. I love the vision of the owners was to create more of like a friendly learner community. And so we would allow, unless we had way too many teams, because we didn't want to be there till 1 or 2 a.m., which occasionally happened, but we would allow them to usually have one trash cow and call it at 2. So, but again, if we had too many numbers, then we really sticked really to that. But if we had a little squirt who's out there cute trying for the first time, I just let the timer run a little longer. So it's just fun. I really appreciated their desire to be a great place that people could come and really learn the sport. Mm-hmm. And we had some great people we knew who to put new riders with that were just really graceful and coaching and helping them along and stuff. So
that sounds wonderful. That brings me to a question. The three people on your team, are you always riding with the same team, or do you guys like shuffle? What does that look like?
Good question. Different places do it differently, but we would allow people to like request who they wanted, and people would pay for either one, two, or three teams for the night. So if you paid for three teams, you would ride a total of 9 times, but you would have, you know, we would do three different, oh my gosh, I'm like spacing on the name, but we'd have like three different rounds that we would do. So in the first round, you would ride with each team 1 time, and the second same. So if you did 3 teams and you'd ride a total of 9 rides. So we would switch it up, which was, it was really fun to actually learn how do you do teamwork with very different people and different riders, and how to communicate what you need and where you're at or things like that. So we would definitely switch it up. So we have some folks that come and they were adamant they just always would ride with the same people every single time, and we'd accommodate for that. But so different places can do it differently, but that's how we ran it.
So what's some advice you would give to someone who's maybe never been on a horse before, been on a horse a little bit, but they want to try their toe in the penning world? What would you say?
Oh, gosh. One, I'd say start with sorting first, just because you're not going full tilt. We did have, thankfully, not a lot of accidents, but some you got to take some corners, you know, and be able to keep your seat. So if somebody's just riding, I'd say take a couple of years in a saddle first. And then to start slowly working cows, especially if you have a green rider and a green horse, that's a little tricky. But if you've got just a more experienced rider with a green horse, then it's just, we would allow people to do this, to just walk their horse in the cows sometimes, or just when we would switch cattle, we'd always encourage beginners, you know, go out, even if you're not paying to ride, you're welcome to come for free and just help us push cows back. because it gets your horse used to it. And once a horse sees and they get behind a cow, like I always tell them, don't start when a cow is facing you. Just let your horse go to a cow that's already moved away and use your voice to try to move the cow forward. Once the horse gets the concept of, oh, this cow's moving away from me, they start to feel a little empowered.
Yeah.
And a little confidence and stuff.
It's so a cool feeling.
Yeah. So it's fun to just see people with different horses that would come and just start to get the concept after a while, and they'd start to get good at it. So
you brought up a really great point that I'd love to touch on, because, like, full transparency, I had to Google this in preparation for the episode. Could you tell us the basic differences between team penning and ranch sorting? I know we touched on there's less cows in sorting. What are some other differences there?
Yeah, so team penning, the main thing is you're in a team of three and you're trying to get three of the same number. Sorting is they have tags 0 through 9, and you have to get the cows through the arena is kind of like an hourglass, I think would be the easiest description. And you've got to get them through that chute in numbered order in a team of two. So you have one person who's guarding the hole, so in the middle there, and the other person is going to cut the correct number out. And again, you've got to be able to know which one is which, because sometimes you're riding at you with two cows. You've got to know, is the one on the wall the one that you want, or the one towards the inside? Which one do you ride at to stop? And then we would, you know, we'd announce, you know, four. So then you start 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, 1, 2, 3. So you've got, and we would run the same way where we'd usually allow like a grace trash cow, but then call it if you had more than that. So it's sorting. I love team penning because the running back part is just so fun. You get them all and it's just like cowboy up and run and pen them up. It's so fun. But the sorting, it's definitely more challenging for the horse, especially in the hole. If you've got a really well-trained cutting horse, it's awesome to have because there's so much pivoting and turning, and it's, you know, it's just really helpful. And it's a lot more stressful, I think, to start a horse doing that because they can get really frustrated, especially if you're urgently trying to just not realizing, no, my horse is just not trained for this yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does take a lot more agility and quick thinking, but amazing to see when the horses just, they get it and can do it well. So
what does the training look like for a penning horse?
That's a good question. You know, and honestly, I got mine and I was warned to get rid of him by more than one person. He was kind of a runaway freight train, which, to be honest, was beyond my ability at the time. So I'm grateful for the good old cowboys that warned me that they were just genuinely concerned for my safety. But he ended up to be really great. But it was fascinating. Like, I never got him to a level of like a really experienced cutting horse. But there's so much with just, you know, I've got one person recently who's asking questions. It's like one of the biggest things that sounds so simple is constantly stop and back up. Every time you stop, teach them to be on their haunches so that they can have that power from behind to move when they need. And then just teaching that pivot so they can get on their hind end and pivot back and forth quickly. So breaking that down for a horse, you know, I started doing some of that with mine. I never got to the speed that I would have loved to with him. He's now injured and living happy retired life. Well, happy-ish with the injury. But I think that's one of like such a major point of training for a horse to do that, I think, is one of the most important ones. So
that makes a lot of sense. Just the encouragement to rock them back on their haunches so they can pivot or, you know, rush off into a gallop, that almost a launch pad kind of idea there. So I want to circle back to what you mentioned at the top of the interview. I would love to hear your experience penning on different breeds. I know we're the Quarter Horse Show, but we'll give some Morgan some love. I'd love to hear the differences because, you know, quarter horses throwing that big old behind down, I would imagine feels a heck of a lot different than on a Morgan. So please expand on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, it was so fun. I rode a couple of different horses in the beginning, but I didn't know enough about the sport to even be paying attention to different things. But then once I got mine, he was fun. He was a fire engine and you just point his obnoxious energy at it and run. And I love him. He's a I am such a fan of the Morgan breed. I'd never ridden one before, but when I saw you guys are like, yeah, you're a quarter horse podcast. Like, it was fascinating though, because I know we were definitely a misfit. You know, cow horse world is quarter horse world. It just is. But then once mine got injured, I rode another one for a year. And to my knowledge, she'd never had that. I know one person tried to ride her briefly, but I think gave up. You know, she's a really hard horse to catch and to do some stuff. But within a few months of working with her, she was a quarter horse, the cowie instinct, I was just blown away. So again, I love my horse and I love Morgan's, but I was pretty astounded that there was just, it was hard to even just describe. It's just that cowie factor of a quarter horse that she got the sport in a way that my horse never did. And we did it for several years. And sadly, she got injured towards the end of that first season. She had some arthritis in her knee that really started acting up. So it was a bummer because we started winning multiple nights in a row. And then she went lame. And I was like, no. But she was so fun to work with because she just started to get like, oh, you want this cow. And there was just something. She knew how to stick the cow better. And again, I don't think she'd ever, at least her reactivity to begin with in this sport, I don't think she was ever used to it. But there's something about the intelligence of working with cows that quarter horses have. And again, I know that because I was like in the world and everybody's bragging about their quarter horses and all their registries, whatever, you know. So I know it's quarter horses are a thing, but just to ride and to feel the difference was really fascinating. So I love my horse and he did great, but it was definitely different. So
I have our last question for you, which is by far the hardest question we ask any guest. Can you tell us your favorite funny story or quirky moment with your quarter horse?
Oh, gosh.
This is the hardest question.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, the one that comes to mind is when I was first riding mine, but he's Morgan, but when I was just starting out doing the Team Penny stuff, and I was warned he had no brakes and he didn't turn when I got him. I was like, those are pretty significant issues, especially for his age.
You know, just like minor details in riding. It's fine.
Right. And I started him doing the Team Penning, honestly, sooner than I should have. And I had a bit with no leverage on it, which I did add a shank just so like I need a little extra stopping with him. But I remember he just got so excited and I could not stop him. And we had a couple instances, one where I tried to one rein stop and haul his leg. I mean, his head was to my knee turned. And I finally let his head around because it's like, there is a gate. Like, you got to see it. He just was not stopping at all. And we had another one that he was like going to run over this cow like it was an ant. And I tried the same thing, but it was too late. So we both went down and I had a pretty significant knee injury, but I was grateful that's all I had because my head fell between the alley, the pen, and the outside wall. So I was very grateful for how I fell. I did not wear helmets at the time. It's not a thing in Western world. I did start after that, even though I felt like a total dork. But I was like, it just takes the one time. And that definitely was a bit of a reality check.
I'm glad you're okay. That's very scary.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very glad I was too. And I realized I got to do a little more training with him before we try to tackle the sport again.
We love woe. We love woe here on the Quarter Horse Podcast. Yes,
more woe than go. You could ask Ashley. I like when their feet are on the ground. I like a walk, a nice jog. That's my speed.
Yes, understandable.
Well, thank you so much, Kimberly. It was great chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you. You guys too.
Heavy new blankets, bulky coolers, tubs of supplements, even prescription items. No problem. At Chewy, every order over $49 ships free, so you can stock up on everything your horse needs for winter without the heavy lifting. Order online or in the app, and let Chewy deliver right to your barn. Fast, free, and hassle-free, so you can spend more time enjoying winter rides with your horse. Start shopping now at chewy.com/equine. Hailing from Longview, Texas, Elaine's connection to horses began at the age of 4 with a pony, tale as old as time. she honed her foundational skills working alongside her father at a cattle ranch. Her competitive experience includes barrel racing, trail competitions, and even extreme cowboy racing. It was at Cowgirl Roundup, following all this horsing around, that she first encountered the fast-paced teamwork of sorting and penning, a discipline that immediately captured her passion and focus. Welcome to the show, Elaine.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm just so tickled to dive even deeper into team penning. So in the first half of the show, we talked about what team penning is, how you play, all that kind of stuff. And I'm really excited to dive deeper. So the first question I have for you, Elaine, every run starts with a visual read of the herd. When you're standing on the line, what's your priority? Is it the cow's position, its behavior, or the group around it, or something else entirely?
We like to read the cattle as much as we can. Sometimes that's not possible. The main thing that I like to do is decide before we go in what our game plan is, who has the quietest horse that can go in and try to get those cows out without scattering them. We usually try to send one person in and the other two hold the line. But of course, you know, with cattle, things can change quite quickly. The main thing is, you know, kind of have a game plan, but also communicate with your partners. And, you know, if you need help or you're not able to get one out, well, then definitely come out of the herd and send someone else.
It's so funny as a rider to consider that communication is the most important thing when we're on a sport with animals that don't speak our language.
Yes. And that, I think that's what makes it so important, because like I say, you know, you can read the cattle as well as you think, but then you go in there and they may act totally different for your group of people versus what you've watched before. So, you know, you've only got 60 to 90 seconds. So you've got to make a split second decision. So the best thing to do is just, you know, communicate so you can, you know, change your game plan, you know, in a split second and go to whatever game plan works for the way those cattle are working at that point.
And does your team or when you're riding in penning, do you guys have like secret codes or special whistles that you use to communicate? Because I'd imagine, you know, like you said, you only have 30 to 60 seconds. That has to go by so fast. Everything's happening so fast.
We don't. We just make sure that, you know, depending on the arena we're in, sometimes it's really loud. So you just need to make sure you're loud enough that your partner can hear you half across the arena. And like I say, just, you know, make sure that you communicate and kind of keep an eye on the cow, keep an eye on your partner, see if they're, you know, in trouble and maybe not communicating. So it is a lot going on at one time. But like I say, that communicating, it just goes a long way.
That's amazing. I can't imagine, like, I just can't imagine doing all this and my brain working. Like, I'm looking for the number of the cow. I'm riding my horse. Like, are you fried after a ride, or are you just like high on adrenaline?
It's, you know, it's such an adrenaline rush and it's so much fun that, you know, definitely not fried. And I usually will sign up as many times as they will let me.
Oh my God, I love it. Is.
The group of people that I ride with, you know, you have to understand you're part of a team. And you may be the lead, you may be the help, you may be whatever. And you just have to be willing to be whatever you need to be on that particular run. And the people that I ride with, or some of them I've never ridden with before, some of them I've ridden with for years. And, you know, horse people are just, there's great people to ride with 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, you're 100% right. So I want to pivot a little bit. Before I hit record, we were talking about your quarter horses and some bloodlines, and I'd like to ask, what do you think it is that makes quarter horses outside of their innate cowiness, right? So let's focus maybe more on conformation. What makes quarter horses built for team penning?
I think the quarter horse is built for durability and for lasting. Mm-hmm. You know, their muscle tone, they're very agile, and, you know, just their willingness. Mm-hmm. You know, I have three mares, and, you know, some have similar bloodlines. One has a total different one, but just, you know, their willingness to do for you. And if you form that good relationship with them, you know, you're unstoppable. There's nothing you can't do.
What does that week leading up to the competition look like for you guys?
Most of my teammates live quite a ways away, so we usually don't get to practice together, but I do have a flag that you have a remote that makes it go back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so it teaches, you know, just keeps your, if you don't have cattle to work with, that way you can keep your horse to where they'll lock in on that mm-hmm. and then they'll move with it. And so I try to do that, do some exercises that's going to keep them in shape to be, you know, rocking back and being able to cut that cow off, things like that. And just, you know, just spend some time keeping them, you know, legged up and exercised. But the flag does help because, like I say, that cow, you know, it may be going to the right and it's going to cut hard to the left. So that helps keep them kind of on top of their game and, mm-hmm. and me as well.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Having something to kind of chase or act like that cow so the horse can practice not only the visualization, but also, like you said, you know, rocking back on those haunches and being able to keep up with the flag or the cow.
Right.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
It really is. Like I say, I just possible because, like I say, you know, some of the people I ride with, you meet new people and you just meet such fantastic people in the horse world that it's always enjoyable. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, you always come away with something from the competitions.
Which I wish every discipline could say that at the end of show. I know that that is not the case from being in different disciplines myself. It's very refreshing to hear. On that note, how do you see the sport of team penning evolving?
I see so many people getting involved in the sport now. What would some of your advice be to someone who is interested in trying out team penning?
And as soon as they decide, okay, well, I'm going to have to get a horse that's, you know, they may be riding a gated horse.
Sure.
And they go, oh, wait, okay, yes, I can do this. But if I want to be competitive, I'm going to have to move over here and get me one of these quarter horses mm-hmm. that can really do this. And so you just see a lot of people, like I say, you know, once they try it, they seem to fall in love with it. I don't think I've run across anyone that said, oh, this is just not for me.
I couldn't agree more. I have an English background and I've gotten to do some penning before just for fun. And there is nothing like the feeling of that horse locking on to a cow and you're kind of just along for the ride. Like, it is so cool.
Yes, it is. It is a feeling that's hard to describe until yeah. it happens. And then you just get that big smile on your face.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Elaine. I mean, do you even have people show up to do sorting and penning in like English tack? Or has that happened? I'm just curious.
We have not.
Okay.
I have not seen that. I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen, but I haven't seen it yet.
Well, it's so refreshing to hear about an organization that is so open and friendly and kind and just is like, come on, come try. You're welcome to. You know, it's tough for folks to get into different disciplines.
Yes, they really are. They're very kind to beginners. And a lot of the sortings, I'm not sure about the pinnings. I haven't seen them have clinics, but a lot of the sortings, they will have a clinic the Friday before the show on Saturday and Sunday. And so, you know, new people can come and they make it very reasonable. It's usually $100 to $150 for 4 to 5 hours. And they help you along the way. They'll, you know, kind of tell you where you need to be on that cow, how you need to push it. And so, you know, they're even doing that to help the beginners so they can have more fun and enjoy the show. So, because you don't want to go show up, pay for a show, and then be discouraged.
Right.
So, you know, they're offering the clinics and, you know, a lot of times they'll ask me, they'll say, hey, you know, this lady's never done it. Will you ride with her? Absolutely. You know, I had people do it for me and I definitely want to pay it forward.
Oh my gosh. I just love that. So I'm going to pivot again. It's our last pivot of our conversation today. And this is notoriously the hardest question we ask. And that question is, tell me about your favorite quarter horse and what has made them so special to you, or a funny quarter horse story. You can choose which answer you want to do, but this is the hardest question we ask on the Quarter Horse Podcast.
My favorite quarter horse right now, and has been for a while, is Hottish.
Mm-hmm.
I have an own daughter of Hottish, and she's Doc Stylish Oak and Freckles Playboy on the bottom. And I bought her as a 3-year-old a year ago. And it didn't take me 5 minutes in the saddle. And that 3-year-old was, you know, just getting like being on a seasoned horse. She was phenomenal. She's sweet. She's talented. But I really love some cutting and just walks out. She's, you know, she could be, you know, on her game mm-hmm. and really moving fast. And then after that, it's calm and everything's good. And I think that just shows me what a good mind they mm-hmm. have. Mm-hmm. And I just recently bought another one, daughter of Dual Reyish, which is out of Hottish. And she's exactly the same way. You know, they will get down and work for you really hard, but then they come back down and they're very calm. And I think that makes for a better, happier horse.
I couldn't agree more. And just, you got to love the versatility of a quarter horse. You know, they can go from the arena to being a puppy dog in 10 seconds.
Yes. It's incredible.
They're amazing animals. So thank you, Elaine, so much for spending some time with me today. I loved getting into team penning with you more. If someone had a question, wanted to reach out to you, where could they find you?
They can find me on Facebook, just under Elaine Hunter.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Quarter Horse Podcast on Horses in the Morning. Be sure to like, subscribe, and tell your friends all about the world's favorite breed of horse.